Hi, everyone. I'm Anita Lustria, and for many years I did live radio. Then I transitioned to the podcast world where I feel I found my home. I love talking about spiritual formation, justice issues, and spiritual practices. Throw in the Enneagram, movies, and current events from time to time, and that's what you get on the podcast. I'm glad you've come along for the ride. Welcome to Faith Conversations. Welcome to Faith Conversations, everyone. I'm Anita Lustria, and I'm glad that you have downloaded the podcast. Today's going to be an interesting conversation. Well, at least I sure think it is going to be. It is one of those topics that I dearly love. It's focusing in that realm of spiritual formation. My guest has been with me before on the podcast, Marcia Crockett. She is an author. She is a spiritual director, and she's just about to retire from her longtime corporate job and just move into a different phase of life. But today we're going to be speaking with her about her latest book called Speak, My Soul, Listening to the Divine with Holy Purpose. And so, Marcia, welcome back to Faith Conversations.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Good to have you.
Always. Yeah.
I always find it interesting to hear why a particular book. There's usually either an itch that's being scratched by the author themselves, or something that they have sensed in the broader world, or a nudge from the Holy Spirit to write on a certain topic. What was this book for you? How did it come to be?
Yeah, that's a great question. And every book does have a story, that's for sure. This one, you know, a lot of what I share with others, whether it's, you know, personally or speaking or social media, whatever, I refer to as soul talk. And the idea of listening to our own souls, I think, is vital and certainly scriptural and has, you know, been something I've tried to pay attention to over the years myself. I also had written a lot, over the years, not even for publication, but just written, for myself, a variety of different things along these lines. And as I was learning what that meant to listen to my own soul, and looking at that compilation of materials all together laid out, it just sort of formed into a little bit of the format that you see in the book, and I was able to group some things together that I had written that made sense. And it was a book. I like to think of every book that I've written as something that I'm on the learning edge of. So it always teaches me something new as I'm writing and putting something together. So looking at the seven pathways that I identify in this book was part of kind of claiming my own journey, my own spiritual journey. So it's not like we go here and then here and then here and then here linearly, but there is this circular movement, I think, of traveling these paths, and sometimes they all merge together as one, and you're just always a little bit of a labyrinth kind of experience.
I resonate with that for sure. And I was thinking too, you just said, it's not a linear progression. I wrote in the margin on one of the pages of your book, the spiritual journey is anything but linear. That's for sure. And I think we always have this expectation that things will be linear, because it's just the way, at least it's the way I move about in the world. And I don't know why I'm constantly surprised that, of course, it's not linear.
Right. Well, and I think it's because we're always on cue to make progress. And so there's this idea of, certainly we grow spiritually, just like we grow in every way. But, if I do this, then I'll achieve this, then I'll get to the next step. The next step is really about measuring spiritual growth, which cannot be measured.
Yeah, thank you.
The only measurement I can find in scripture is John the Baptist saying, he must increase and I must decrease. Mm. So it's, we're on the decrease rather than on a growth curve. It's really important to me to think of it linearly, or to think of it not linear, non-linearly.
Yes.
Yeah. And more in a circular, or
I like that image too. I think it's re really helpful, and it's always good to be reminded of. One of the other noticings that I had certainly was the fact that Speak My Soul is really built on this foundation of the Psalms, where you invite us deeper. So not only built on the Psalms or kind of rests on the Psalms, but as you already alluded to, seven different paths. And I want to ask a little bit about those paths, but I want to start first with the Psalms. What is it about the Psalms that you appreciate in your own life, and why did you feel like that would be kind of a good foundation for these paths that you were going to take us on?
Well, for me, the Psalms are they're pretty raw. They're just utterly, this is who I am, this is how I'm praising God, this is the mess of my life, this is what I need to confess. Whatever it is, it's just so transparent. And to be able to put that into prayer and bring that into the presence of God is stunning, I think. A stunning example of what it means to be a spiritual person and a person in relationship with God. So that's, I think, is a much as much of it as anything for me.
I appreciate that, and I think about the Psalms similarly. I think as I've gotten older, I also think that it's a very interesting practice for us to write some of our own Psalms. You've probably done
Course.
that at various points in your life, but because I think it's easy to, well, and the Psalms in Scripture are very well worth hitchhiking off of course. I think it's an interesting process to write our own, to push ourselves to be as raw as what we see in the Psalms. I think that's interesting. And somehow hearing you talk about it made me think back to my son, who's now 31, but I remember he had a little assignment in school, I think second grade, and he wrote a psalm. And I don't think he knows that I saw it, but it was really raw. And second grade raw, but nevertheless less raw. Our family was going through a very hard time. And oh, it was so interesting to see a 7-year-old heart. And I remember thinking at the time, wow, may I be that vulnerable as well as authentic? May I be that if I did the same thing and wrote my own? Yeah, because we certainly see that in the Psalms that we have in Scripture, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, everything from my God, why have you forsaken me to, why are you downcast, oh my soul? Let's talk to our own soul and say, what's going on with me?
Yeah,
A little bit of
absolutely.
self-talk in that way is prayer, is, where we meet the holy.
Well, and two, I mean, I think the Psalms, in those moments in our own lives, which are sometimes many, where we don't have words, we have nothing, but we can go to the Psalms and the words are there for us. We
They
don't
are
go without
there.
words.
And for us to explore, and I think they are invitation to our own conversation, like you say, to whether we write them out or just, are in the midst of praying. Listening prayer is as much of it as anything.
Well, talk to me a little bit about the seven paths. Actually, twofold. One, I would love for you to talk about the format of the book, because for me, that's one of the things that's so inviting. I love these kinds of books that really invite me in and give me space to sit with some wonderful content and even ponder some questions that are asked. So, talk about the format that you chose for this, and then talk about the different paths that you have chosen and why those paths.
So the format, I I always hope that I write as a way for an invitation for people to engage in their own journey.
Yeah.
And this certainly, maybe more so than any of my other books, does that. So each chapter is really divided up to cover 1 week. There are seven really short, easy to read reflection pieces, along with a couple of suggestions on how you might reflect on something on that pathway. The sixth day always focuses on something in the on the journey of Christ to the cross. So if you take each of the six reflections or meditations from each chapter, you could actually use those for a Lent retreat or reflection. So
okay.
Yeah,
I like that.
I think the idea of, you know, take up your cross and follow me is part of why that came about. It's like, where are we following Christ? How did he carry his cross? What are the things we encounter with Jesus as he's on that path? So that's pulled that together. And then the final day is really more of a reflection of the week and allows an individual, and hopefully people will pick it up and use it with a small group, a listening group of some sort.
I like that.
Share together. So really the material is right there for a small group to delve into each of the chapters.
Nice.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the things you talk about at the back, there are some nice appendices in the back, you know, like a leader's guide if you were doing
right.
a small group. But somewhere in here, where did I see this? You talk about what a listening group is. I'm curious what your definition is of a listening group.
Yeah, so I'm really passionate about this. And the last couple of books I've really tried to delve into this for individuals, but you know, it's something different than our typical small groups you might have in church, or you know, it's not a book club. It's not really focused on what can we learn. It's really about experiencing and sharing each individual their own experience or journey. And having everyone listen, actively listen, meaning we're not here to fix you. We're not here to give you advice. We're not going to have this crosstalk happening. We are going to listen and be with you shoulder to shoulder on this journey.
Sounds like
Yes.
AA or Alan. I go to Al-Anon. Sounds like
Yeah.
Al-Anon. I love
it.
It
is a lot. It's,
yeah.
It's, you know, the no crosstalk. It's really being with another person and accepting wherever they are, and giving people the benefit of the doubt that they are figuring out their own path and that they have an inner wisdom that they can trust in doing that. I don't think we have much other than maybe AA groups or, you know, those type of support groups that encourage that kind of listening in this world.
I
And
agree.
I think that it would do our churches a lot of good and bring some health to allow people to really bring their whole life, the integration of life into the church without the intent of, we need to fix you or change you
I love that.
or being talked at, you know, a lot
Yes, yes, yes,
of
yes.
being talked at,
Yeah.
And not really allowed to develop whatever that is happening as a result of what we're hearing. So that's really, I'm passionate about it, as you can tell.
Well, and I love
Go
that
on
though.
and on about it.
What, as you're talking about it, made me think of a friend of mine who says, who goes to Al-Anon also. And she said, if Al-Anon had music, I might quit church, you know, because of the what happens in that space, that listening and not fixing, to your point.
Right. I do encourage, you know, in the book also, that a listening group usually is smaller than a small group. You might have six or eight people. That would be a big listening group. I would suggest three or four people that, you know, are reliable, that you can really meet together intently and purposefully to listen to one another, just just so that within a time frame, everyone has an opportunity to share for one
Yes.
thing. So that's part of it.
I like that a lot. Well, as you were writing and, determined you're going to focus in on the Psalms, but you wanted these various paths. And I'm curious how you decided which paths, these different words. Yeah, I'll let you talk about it here. I'll ask questions along the way, but this is interesting to me.
Well, these paths are not the only paths. These are
Right.
some paths that I've encountered and walked along myself. But that's an interesting question because the original order that I had it is something different than the editor suggested. And
What, so I'm curious as to why, what they saw, what an editor saw that made them want to switch up the order.
well, I had the discernment chapter, which is the first one here. I think it was the third originally. And I started with the abiding. Abiding seems so basic and simple to me that that's where we should start. But really, somebody picking up a book about Speak My Soul is, listening to ourselves and listening to God. It's like, how do you even know the voice of God? I mean, it really is a discernment process, and it's basic, I think, or introductory to how the rest of the chapters might follow. So again, not being, tied to it has to be this way because it's linear. If it's really a circular reality, it really doesn't matter where the chapters fall, as far as I'm concerned.
True.
So I was comfortable making discernment that first chapter, and I think it does give each individual that reads it pause to consider, how do I hear God? What are the ways that God speaks to me? And living with that and going with, sharing that conversation with somebody else. So I was happy with that change.
Let
But the
before.
others,
Well, before you go on, I'm going to interject a question already about discernment before we go on to some of the other paths that you chose. I think I don't know why, maybe it's me, but I always find it hard to explain discernment to someone. I know what it is, but whenever I go to talk about it, and I just read a whole book on discernment, and I how do you explain that to someone? And maybe sometimes I'm thinking too broadly about it as opposed to just the spiritual context, but isn't all of our lives really falls under that? What do you say when someone asks, what are you talking about with discernment?
Well, it only took me, it didn't take me a whole book. It took me seven sections to say something about it. But I do say it is difficult. I mean, discernment is deep listening, and typically when we're discerning, I think where we struggle and maybe get off the path of discernment is we're looking for the right path. What's the right answer? And I don't, in my mind, that's not what discernment is about. It's really how on this path, if I do this, if I do that, will it lead me closer to the heart of God? Not that we can be further away or closer to God other than what God already is within us, but what we experience as closeness or distance. It's where can I be more fully present to the divine within as I'm making choices each day? And I think as much as anything, it's makes sense to think about and discern and figure out a path on some of the big decisions we need to make in life, but it really is, I think discernment is, it's an everyday, it can be a minute by minute practice of seeking God. It's just seeking God. And some ways take us one way and some ways take us another. And if it takes us further from God, God is still with us. It's like there is no right or wrong. We can't be separated from that. And I think one of the first things I say in this discernment chapter is that nothing can separate us from God because nothing is separate from God. So as we travel on, right or wrong, whatever you want to call it, God is always there. God is in the midst of our bad decisions and our good decisions. God is always there. So it's,
I like that. I
yeah.
appreciate that. One of the other things that elevates for me when I hear you talk about it was when you use the term deep listening. I think that that is maybe a bigger struggle than we realize or than we would like to admit. Or, you know, I think having the space and quiet in which to listen is something that does not come naturally, and that certainly culturally we are not encouraged to move into quiet space.
Right. Yes. Yes. And to really ponder over something, to be present to something. And I don't know, I tend to be, I think, like most people, just, you know, we live on the surface. We're in autopilot mode most of the day, getting things done that we need to get done, and not giving it much thought, which is fine. That's how we're kind of wired to be able to operate in this world. But to really sit and listen and consider, where have I noticed God present with me? Where have I been desperate for God to be present with me? Why did I not sense God in this place? You know, it's really inquiring of your own soul, some of these questions that might lead you to something deeper. I mean, it's the frustrations that we experience over whatever, the condition of the world, the latest news. You know, we can say that, you know, that makes me so bad. We can blame people. We can blame politics. We can do whatever we want. We can blame God. But to really sit and ask, why am I upset about this? Well, it's because of them, you know. No, but why are you upset about that? It's just continuing to peel back the
Keep
layers.
coming back. I like that. Right. And coming back to that me, not the me, as opposed to everyone else in the world, right? Bringing it back there.
Right. Right.
Well, so you start out with discernment. What are some of the other paths that you take us on over the course of the weeks?
I mean, one of the next ones is disciplines, spiritual disciplines. And certainly, you know, seven short little thoughts about discipline is just a drop in the bucket about spiritual disciplines. But, you know, we all practice our faith in different ways, whether we know it or not. And trying to be intentional about that. I've always loved that Richard Foster and his Celebration of Discipline said, you know, this doesn't just fall on our heads. You know, we need to be intentional about not doing a discipline or a practice so that we can earn God's approval or attention, or that we make progress, but it simply is a way of opening our own lives to the possibility of engaging with God in the midst of life. So that it's invitational. It's, you know, a way to grow, you know, in the sense of I'm expanding the possibility of God in my life, whether it's through prayer or simplicity or, you know, centering or fasting or whatever it may be, the practices that we call upon to open ourselves to the presence of God is one of those paths that we can look at.
Love that. Let me ask you this question. I know there were certain paths that I personally was drawn to. For you, what is a path that you include in the book that was surprising in your own life, and or one that was just really hard, also a harder path?
Yeah. Well, this is interesting because I think in several of my books, I've written on this path, and I do it because it is hard. And that is the path of community.
Oh, I wondered which, but because, you know, I think one of the paths is the path in the wilderness, and we can easily go, oh, the wilderness is a hard path.
Yeah.
So, but I kind of knew you weren't going to say that, but I wasn't sure. So community. Oh yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I just, maybe one day God will free me of feeling like community is what part of my faith practice needs to be. I've asked to be released from it.
That's really funny.
To no avail. And it's just incredibly life-giving, and it is incredibly difficult to live really in community with a group of people for a period of time, however long that may be. I understand specifically and deeply the pain that has been caused to some individuals in community. I understand why people pull away from it. And that, again, is the discernment of this is not where I need to be. This is feels abusive to me. And so we move, we leave, and we find something else. But whether it's in an organized community or just, you know, with people in your neighborhood or at work or wherever it may be, we are people that typically must live in community in this world. There are few that are truly, truly alone all the time, forever and ever. So if we are to be in community, what does that look like and feel like? And you know, I always think that, you know, Paul said to bear with one another, and that that's in scripture because we don't need to bear with each other unless you're stepping on my last nerve. Then I need to bear with you. So,
Yes.
you know, how do we do that? It's just the
That's great.
reality
It
of
is.
how we are.
Anyone listening, they burst out laughing too. Trust me. You're right, the reality. All right, how about a path that is more downstream than upstream for you?
Oh boy. Yeah, I love them all. I will say something about wilderness, which, yeah, most people do find, of course, it can be difficult, but I just think it's one of the most inviting places to be free of everything that you've carried with you so far, that you're going to leave everything behind. And this typically happens not because we're trying to get into the wilderness. Typically, we're trying to get out of the wilderness. But I believe God brings every person into that kind of a space at some point. It can be, you know, for a day or a week or 10 years, and it can be over and over. Sometimes I feel like I've been in and out of deserts over and over. And there is to be able to welcome it as this is the place to strip away everything else, to be silent, I mean, God is being silent in our perception. Is that not the invitation for us to be in the silence? It's just like something so inviting to me,
I
with the
love
wilderness,
that.
maybe because I lived for 50 years in Phoenix, Arizona, but there's something beautiful about being in the wilderness, and at the right time, God calls us out of the wilderness. So it's a place to trust and to actually, I think it's a place to rest. And
Well, I mean, what I want to say is, Speak My Soul is a beautiful, guided, thoughtful journey. You're invited into it by a seasoned guide. And I love the format and just the invitation to sit and ponder in a daily way. I mean, I love these kinds of books, and I just want to encourage anyone who's looking for that space that you can enter into daily and ponder some important things, be invited more deeply into that walk of with Christ. I think it's a terrific book and one that I'm going slowly through myself because I'm grateful for that and I needed it. It came along for me at the right time. So thank you, Marcia. Thank you for your good work. And are you going to keep writing? You said, I don't know if you said this on the podcast or beforehand to me, but you took a maybe a 10, 15 year hiatus from writing and then
I
jumped back
did.
in. Are you
Yeah.
back on that path again?
I think so. I think so. And
Yay.
as I come up to my retirement time next month, yeah, in June, I look forward to spending more time focusing on
Nice.
some writing and yeah, see what
Love
comes.
that. Well, I'm certainly happy to hear that, and I think others will be
Thank you.
too. You can head to the show notes, and I've got a link for Speak My Soul by Marcia Crockett. I highly recommend it. Marcia, thank you. Always good to talk with you and to hear
Thank you,
what's
Anita.
flowing from your heart. So thanks.
Appreciate your time.
And to everyone else, I say keep the conversation going.